Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting show. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the Halloween-infested coconut and, what's it called, pumpkin lantern paradise of New Zealand. That's right, we make coconut lanterns. In fact, I saw a very interesting Facebook picture. You know, is the great thing about Facebook is there are a hell of a lot of really funny, funny things in there. Ultimately, you get exposed to a few. One was a pumpkin that was put in somebody's windowsill, a little candle inside and everything, and it had the words "frack off" carved into it. Of course, I'm using a euphemism, but I thought that was quite funny because a lot of people really don't like the kids coming out and trick-or-treating and what have you. And sure enough, has anybody else noticed, or at least this is the case in New Zealand anymore, children just ain't doing the trick-or-treating thing no more, bro. They're either too lazy to come up with a costume, too distracted by Xbox and PlayStation and semi-pornographic music videos. What the heck is going on here? And the answer is scumbaggery. Oh, yeah. It's always the problem. Everything comes back to scumbaggery at the end of the day. It's quite funny, isn't it? And speaking of scumbaggery, we have an expert here on Masonic scumbaggery. James Wright, and I believe he's brought somebody with him. Okay. Okay, so who's this other person you've got with you, James?
Well, it's a distant cousin of mine, but she prefers to actually go by a stage name and dealing with all this for obvious reasons. She doesn't want to be a target, you know, in her career or anything from the Masons and their anger and everything of what we've been doing. But she's an excellent singer, and her stage name is Diana Rose Croy, the Rose Croy being a sort of a takeoff of the Masonic term, Rose Croy. So.
And sort of a takeoff of Diana Ross at the same time?
Well, more like, well, I guess so, but no, more along the lines of Princess Diana.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I found it interesting that her nickname was Princess Di, and then she died.
Yeah, well, I think she was meant to from the start. That's what that family does, is kill all their wives.
Yeah, well, since the days of Henry VIII, I've got syphilis and she won't have sex with me. I'll just kill her and marry somebody else. I'm the king, after all. Hey, well, hold on a second. Aren't you just a hereditary dictator? Nothing noble about you whatsoever? That's right. But I currently have a whole bunch of people fooled to believe I am actually noble.
Yeah, that's about right.
You see, you really can't. You really can't fault them. They've really got a flawless system, and they got it down swimmingly. So let's talk about Masonic. Where's song? In fact, we could probably play it next segment, right? Are there any cuss words in it or anything like that? Anything that might breach FCC regulated radio? Masons assassinate me in my home?
Well, the lyrics are pretty suggestive, but no, there's one line where it says, if you're my bitch, can I treat you like a whore? So
we can talk about female dogs all we want on FCC regulated radio.
Fantastic.
So see that, I guess we dodged that bullet, didn't we?
Well, the whole reason for this really was in lieu of the circumstances that unfolded in California, I was pretty furious, as usual, with the way that they, you know, really made a muck-up of everything that I was doing over there. And so I came up with this concept, all right, well, I'll spread awareness through pop culture just like they do with their own symbology and everything and music videos and what have you. So I decided what a perfect song would be is Madonna's Erotica, but redo like a parody of it and call it Masonica.
Yeah. And how did that work out for you?
Well, it's actually gotten rave reviews. It's been getting a lot of views on YouTube. It's just the audio. We haven't done like a video yet, but we intend on it. And I mean, the thing about it, though, is the lyrics are pretty suggestive and filthy, but it is the truth of what goes on in the higher echelons of that order. And it's certainly what my experience was and a lot of other people as well. So it's very truthful.
Well, could you elaborate on that?
Well, for example, when I was working at the Dallas Scottish Rite, my boss, the Secretary General, for months and months, everything was very platonic and amicable. But then toward the end, when everything was blowing up and the whole H-bomb was going off and all that, he came to me at my aunt's house in Dallas and met me there and proceeded to come on to me. And the whole reasoning of it was, you know, I'll fix this mess, I'll smooth things over with the Supreme Council, but you've got to sleep with me. And it was really disgusting. He was 65 years old. I was 28. And I was very appalled by it and replied with a stern no. And it would seem that he didn't have any desire to help me after that.
And how does that actually reflect in the lyrics? I mean, what's the lyric to suggest that?
Well, first of all, when you're dealing with all of the Masonic speak in the lodge rituals and everything, it does have a certain homoerotic tone to it. I mean, it, almost like some sort of a bondage scene or whatever, because it's a lot of, oh yes, worshipful master, and I await your pleasure, and all this sort of bizarre English that's used, and that's standard worldwide in all Masonic lodges, and that's just on the lower level, the Blue Lodge. And
it does sound like a little cold, you know?
Oh yes, worshipful master, I will clean your shoes for you.
Yeah, that's basically it, yeah. And not only that, but, you know, when I was working in that position at the Scottish Rite, there were so many Masons that would come in and hit on me and try to get me to go off and do things with them. And they would say that I was the only gay Mason that there was, which is just ridiculous. I mean, that's so stupid to even humor as a talking point. No, there's plenty, but a lot of them, in Texas especially, you know, they're closeted, and so it's like this little secret dealing within a secret society. These guys do use it as a place, with those Masonic oaths being the mechanism to get away with it. You know, oh yeah, we can go off and have a tawdry affair, brother, and no one has to know about it. You know, like your wife or mine, or you know, that sort of thing. It's really sick.
Can you elaborate exactly how do they keep all of this locked down? Because if it's as widespread as you say, surely somebody would notice.
Well, not really. I mean, if you go and you hit on someone and they respond or they don't, you know, if some sort of clandestine affair develops from that, then, I mean, who knows besides the two people that are in it? But then, you know, like with Masonica, I put that out in late August recently, and of course they immediately respond with, oh no, here he goes again, we don't do that, he's insane, blah, blah, blah. Then 1 week later, there was a lodge in Michigan that was busted for, I kid you not, a sex, drug, videotape, the whole nine yards, orgy in the lodge. And they, of course, responded to that and said, oh, well, no, it was a rental that was in there doing it. Well, if that was the case, then why were all of you present? So I'll have to pull up that article right now and get it to you.
So the whole culture is really, because just bear in mind, we're not talking, we're talking about Blue Lodge Masons and all the other ones which only have 3 degrees, or are we're specifically talking about the Scottish Rite 33rd degree kind of Masons?
Well, with my experience, we're talking about the Scottish Rite, but like with this lodge in Michigan that was busted, that was just your everyday around the corner lodge.
Was it a Scottish Rite or a Blue Lodge? Wait, hold on a second. Because I know a couple of things about this. Allegedly, there's a couple of different types of lodges, and the Scottish Rite is like the biggest and the most powerful, because what it's done is it's taken Freemasonry, corrupted it from its original core values and roots, and used the fact that it's secret instead of using secret to make people relaxed and comfortable and actually teach you sort of something about freaking life and the universe and what have you, becomes used as a blanket in order to conceal scumbaggery.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, that's exactly what it is. And, you know, I mean, you and I have had these conversations with Frater X, and he agrees, and yeah, the Scottish Rite over the last 100 years has really turned the tables on Freemasonry as a global institution, and they've really taken over, and they've bankrupted a lot of Blue Lodges and York Rite commanderies and that sort of thing. So, I mean, I'm looking at this article right now. It was the Masonic Temple in Battle Creek, Michigan. Now, when you say Masonic Temple, that alludes to York Rite. So that would be the higher echelon of that. So, I mean, I've never personally been to the Masonic building in Battle Creek, Michigan, so I can't personally say, oh, it houses this and that and the other, but it's mainstream Freemasonry, you know, official establishment Freemasonry, and here they are, just out of control, having a drug-fueled sex party, to quote the article.
Oh, my God. Right, these are community leaders, aren't they?
Oh, yes, pillars of the community. Remember that. Every city worldwide, we're pillars of the community.
Happy Halloween, everybody. I'm sure they were happy to dress up, eh?
Yes. What are you going as for Halloween? I'm going as a drug-fueled sex mason.
You know, does the scarf go with the drug-fueled sex mason motif?
Probably some sort of, like, S&M attire, I would imagine.
Sorry, I don't know what S&M attire is.
I guess, like, leather chaps or something, you know? I don't know.
Yeah. What kind of facial hair are we talking here with the wild sex party? Were we talking mutton chops?
Probably.
Yeah.
Or a caricature evil handlebar mustache, yeah.
You know, there's been a number of studies done all over the place, testing people in prison situations, testing people in authority situations, testing people in wealth situations. And my conclusion based upon all the results of these various studies is that if you have absolute power and no responsibility and a lot of resources, you almost always go bad, like really, really bad. You just turn into a douche. And it would seem to me that the higher up the scale you go, the greater the risk, and also the greater the douche that you could turn into. Like, if I were to say to you, James, you know, here's $1,000. Go out on the town and don't break any laws, but be as big of a douche as you can. And then you're like, all right, man, you become quite a horrific douchebag for doing all that in such a short period of time. With $1,000, then imagine you've got $1 billion. Holy cow. You see, it's an infinite scale. And it's given rise to my belief that there's such a thing as infinite scumbaggery, right? Somebody would be so much of a scumbag that it doesn't matter how you try and classify them, how you try to predict them, he's still even more of a scumbag than that. Like there's room for growth kind of thing. Like they can become even worse. Even if they're already the worst there is.
Oh, totally. I mean, these Masons that are in charge, they're not in it for the whole purpose of doing good or charity or anything like that. They're in it to have statues bronzed of themselves and their paintings hung on the wall and rooms named after them and that sort of thing, because they, you know, with you're dealing with somebody who's narcissistic and egotistical and all that, then it's that whole immortalization of themselves that they're seeking to add on to their already overblown ego. And yeah, that's exactly the nature of the beast.
Infinite scumbaggery, which is allowed to go through the motions, take control over society because of everybody else's infinite complacency.
Yeah, and they've been getting away with this for years. They ringlead it. I mean, I know it goes on everywhere in the world, but the Freemasons really do have the market cornered with it. And, I mean, the stuff I'm dealing with right now, you know, the situation that's unfolding with my publisher, New Falcon, and all that. I mean, here again, you have this CEO who is a malignant narcissist, actually, is what people have referred to him as that I've now talked to. And there's this agenda that he's running. I mean, publishers are in the business of selling books, and yet they are refusing to move the merchandise that is my book and sell it to the distributors and all that, because the Masons have obviously cracked down on this guy, who I found out too late is a Mason himself. And, you know, here we go once again. So I'm currently dealing with an attorney in Hollywood, and because my contracts all stipulate that any litigation has to be brought in Southern California. So it's a pain in the butt. I don't have any money really to be doing this and retaining attorneys, but I'm trying to struggle along and deal with it. In the meantime, I'm now talking to other publishers who are interested in absorbing my work, but it's like, you know, here I am again at this point where I'm having to stop what I'm doing and go backward. Why go forward when you can go backward? You know, and it gets really annoying, but that's the way that they set the system up. And then what's more frightening than that is it would appear that for probably the better part of 2 years now, and this may sound funny to some people and to others it won't, it looks like I've kind of had a bit of a CIA handler, as it were. And that has to do with someone that I've been really good friends with for a long time. He's a famous author. He actually set up the whole deal with New Falcon and established that dialogue between me and them. And I have this other quote-unquote whistleblower. His name is Leo Zagami, and he's a Italian P2 Lodge Freemason. And he contacted me when I was in Denver 2 months ago and was telling me, oh, yeah, this guy is CIA, blah, blah, blah. And I really didn't believe what he was saying. But then he sent me photographic evidence that they do know each other. And it would appear that yes, the guy is. And it's like, well, so what was this all along? I mean, when I wrote this book and it was picked up with this publisher, was this just an agenda, you know, like, oh, well, I guess he's going to do this anyway, so we better hop to it and buy this up and sit on the contracts. And I mean, because I have a letter from Barnes & Noble Corporate to my publisher saying we would like to stock our stores with this book, and yet he will not send them the stock to do so. So, I mean, how much sense does this make? It doesn't.
It does make a lot of sense if you're a psychopath. We'll be right back, folks. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is James Wright and also the Princess Diana-ish. Yes, I forget the name. I'm sorry.
Diane Rosecroy.
Rosecroy. Okay. Yeah, boy. Now, you were saying something earlier, James, about how these Masons were like approaching you, propositioning you, and saying that you were the only gay Mason. And it made me think of this song, I'm the Only Gay Eskimo in My Tribe. Have you ever heard of this song?
No, I haven't.
Hey, AFR, we've got the song queued up. Just play the first 16 seconds of the song, the little chorus. It's quite funny. Anytime you're ready.
I'm the only gay Eskimo. I'm the only one I know. I'm the only gay Eskimo in my tribe.
All right, there we go. That's good. It was just like doing a Masonic version of that, you know.
Yeah,
only gay 33rd degree Mason.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, the only thing that bothered me about that whole experience was this attitude that they had that, you know, because I was openly gay and I guess none of the rest of them are, that sort of equates me to, like, the prostitute of the building, so... When you're in there, why wouldn't you go up and hit him up for sex or, you know, to go off, do this, do that? It's really strange. Of course, granted, it is Texas, you know, so you're dealing with some backwards thinking there. But that aside, I mean, it's just stupid that, you know, anyone would have to deal with this in a place of employment. And then what recourse do I have? Do you think I can just go... sue the Scottish Rite? No. They are the lawyers. They are the judges. I mean, what good would that do?
Mm. It's the real, it's the international Uber Mafia kind of thing. Speaking of which, we have the song Masonica, I believe, also lined up. So we're going to go through that now and then have a little bit, wee bit of a... discussion on it afterwards. So AFR, if you're ready, please go right ahead and play that.
Masonica.
I don't know about you or anybody else, but it's very difficult to hear the words for me. Could you actually, have you even got like a list of the words there or something like that, we actually run through what it means?
Yeah, it's on YouTube. If you expand, you know, where you click show more, all the lyrics are there. Interestingly, I don't think it's really a problem with the audio. I think it's the bass that's in it, because if you pull up Madonna's Erotica on YouTube, it's just as difficult to hear her through the music, so I don't know. I'm not an audio engineer, so I can't answer what the problem is.
Ah, well, you know, could be worse, I guess. At least we have the lyrics down there for people to read.
Yes, it's on YouTube under Diana Rose Croix, spelled C-R-O-I-X, and Masonica. So,
yeah, should be easy enough. Well. We're talking about, well, it's Halloween today, right?
Right.
Do the Masons celebrate Halloween by like dressing in normal clothes or something?
I'm sure that there's plenty lodges that might have some sort of, you know, a dinner or function or something like that. But then again, there's a lot that don't do anything around a holiday just because they know that nobody's going to show up because everybody's busy.
Everybody's busy doing what? Because I've heard that there's like rituals and things like that that some occult groups practice on days like Halloween, also on September 11th and what have you. Anything like that going on? You know, like
Well, it's not anything you're ever going to see on their websites, on the public calendars, but yeah, that stuff goes on all the time. And then there's, like you said, other groups like the OTO, for example. I'm sure they have something going on nationwide and all the different lodges and whatnot. But it's, you know, you'd have to be a member of that inner circle within Freemasonry to even have an invitation to something like that. It's sort of like those seances that used to go on at 3 a.m. when I worked at the Scottish Rite. You know, nobody knows about it except those in the know.
Well, I believe those are known as you don't seance.
Yeah.
I would like to hear if there are any actual stories. I mean, specifically, if they're talking to some kind of dark occult ritual on like Halloween or something, what would they be doing? You know, like kidnapping a child out of one of the orphanages that they donate to or something like that, and torturing them horrifically, and then drinking their blood when it's all full of the child's adrenaline and so on and so forth, and then laughing maniacally, and then running around and getting into some kind of a sex orgy and smearing the blood all over your testicles?
Well, I mean, we can joke about it, but in all seriousness, yes, that it does go to that kind of a level in places. And, like, you know, with Masonica, we don't do that. That's not, how dare he? And then 1 week later, they're in Michigan for doing exactly what the song says. So, no, don't look here. They do, and they are, and everybody's worst nightmares about them are true. It's just that most Masons themselves don't realize that, because most Masons will never in their lives make it to that top level, ever.
How many people who work selling burgers as a cashier at McDonald's go on to become the CEO?
Zero.
Ever.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Okay, it just doesn't happen. No wonder you think the Masons have nothing wrong with them, because you've never even been with them. The real ones at the top. It's a deception thing, isn't it? It's so easy to deceive people that trust you.
Oh, yeah. The only reason that I made it there was, one, I was very dedicated and I guess did things right or whatever. But then, two, I would have never even been in the position to excel had it not been for the whole bloodline overtone and the way that it runs in my family. And my grandfather's painting hung over the Dallas Scottish Rite's library fireplace. So if that's any indicator as to where I come from, yeah. I mean, I was thrown right into that mix, and I guess I rose pretty fast, but, you know, it wasn't until I was on that Supreme Council payroll that I was able to take a good look around myself and go, oh, shoot, it's exactly what people say about it on the internet. It's horrible. It's evil.
Now, there's also a lot of people who say, oh, you're just coming up with a whole bunch of stuff that's on the internet. And I find that an absolutely hilarious, very, very foolish response to some kind of piece of information. I learned it on the internet, therefore it's not true. Do you realize all the information in the available world is pretty much on the internet, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and then everybody, these same people gloss over the fact that, you know, I'm, to my knowledge, the only person in the world who's been able to identify the quote-unquote Illuminati by its real, true, proper name. They don't call themselves the Illuminati. They call themselves the Order of the Silver Star.
Hey, it doesn't, wasn't that like a female kind of Mason offshoot or something?
Oh, you're thinking Eastern Star, and that's a joke. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's a place to stick the wives to have a coffee clatch to help them, you know, have them cook dinner for the lodges and that sort of thing. It's really stupid, in my opinion.
Because I believe that Helen Clark, the former Prime Minister of New Zealand, now number three, or is it number two, at the UN, was a member of that order as well. And we do see a lot of this kind of thing happening, where you have very high-level Masons that make it into leadership positions and wind up changing countries that they're in charge of rather significantly. For example, right now, at the moment, we have Len Brown, the mayor of Auckland, caught up in a sex scandal. He's a Mason. We have the John Banks, who's a member of parliament. He's a Mason, and he's going down for fraud right now over donations. And the Prime Minister, John Key, Luke Morphy, also a Mason. Welcome to New Zealand. We'll be right back. Thank you. Okay. Final segment of the first hour here. My very special guest is a Scottish Rite Freemason whistleblower, James Wright. Now, can you elucidate to people, let's say, Masons themselves, what their situation actually really is? What are they even being used for, the lower level grunts, as it were? Because every war has people that are on the front line that simply get used by the commanders in order to accomplish an objective. What I want to know what that objective actually is.
Well, the short answer to that is free labor and to feed what goes on up top. I mean, after all, it takes all the lemmings to raise the millions of dollars that they then sit on and play with and use for their own, you know, gauche elaborate decor and their oak desks and their offices and the whole nine yards. Real quick, though, we can come back to that in a second, but my cousin is here. She's got to go, but she wanted to tell you her views on doing Masonica and all that.
Okay.
Okay, well, first, James asked me to sing the song and said, why not? That sounds good to me. And personally, after helping Jay with lots of things, the spying on the people, knocking on my doors, playing with the doors, people breaking into my telephone and getting cut off, I just had enough and I decided, well, why not? And I first laughed when I read it, and we did it about 2 takes, and that was done. And ever since Masonica came on, they did get caught in Michigan having a sex orgy, just like the song suggests. So just to prove, they must have got excited over the song themselves, because they went ahead and did it. So I just really know that there's a lot of things that are happening in this world, and the evil just has to stop. And I just want people to not be brainwashed, and basically that's about it, really. And have a good time. I mean, the thing of it is, with Masonica itself, the song, no matter if you love it or you hate it, it gets stuck in your head over and over again. And so we decided to put it up on YouTube, and at 1333 hits, they took it down and muted it and left the lyrics going, and then they completely muted it. That by the next day, and
yeah, claiming copyright issues.
Yeah, which we're not selling anything or anything like that. So we just had a good time and put it up and seeing what it does. Songs basically have a life of their own, and they go where they need to go. And the person that did make a comment, her video happened to have a link to one of her pages of a Canadian prime minister saying to destroy the Illuminati. And honestly, I would say the people that are truly, you would call Illuminati or royals, they don't really want to destroy anything. They're too busy serving people and visiting those in prison and spending their life just helping people. They're not trying to destroy anything. That's not their heart. So,
yeah, real royals, not the Windsors in England.
No, we don't need a parade. We don't need a parade. We don't need praise. We just really want to get the truth out, and our gems are wisdom and knowledge and love, and we just want to give as much love that's the most important thing that there is. And so, but when Dave told me about Masonica, I said, absolutely. In a heartbeat, let's do it. Press record. So it was just a really good time. It was, and I'm really grateful for the opportunity to do it. And hopefully in the near future, we can get a whole album about Freemasonry out. So,
what do you think about that, Vinny? Would you contribute?
Yeah, I could probably throw in a tune here or there. And I see how it pans out.
We'll just see what happens. And
fun.
So that's the plan. I want to bring out a full Masonic album written by me and James. So
the chronic Masonic album.
Chronicles of
the Chronicles of the Masonicals.
Oh, whatever.
Which are a pair of spectacles that Masons wear.
So, anyway, I'm just happy to help James. And, you know, if we can get people aware of what's going on and they can have a good time dancing. So. Yeah.
Well, I think it boils down to this. I think it boils down to this. People are trying to surveil and kill James. There's a reason for that. Because he's got real nasty information and frickin' backdown stories on all of their scumbaggery. Right? And they need to shut him up. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you want their scumbaggery to revealed, make sure that they don't shut James up. Give him a hand. In fact, you have that Occupy Freemasonry thing on Facebook too, don't you, that people can go to and contribute.
Thank you, Ben. I must go.
Okay, well, thank you very much for stopping by.
Thank you.
Yeah, the site is facebook.com/ Occupy Freemasonry. And, you know, if anybody wants the ebook of my book, Freemasonry's Cult Abuses, I am more than happy at the moment to dispense that for free because of the situation that's unfolding with New Falcon Publications. They don't want to sell it. They're trying to control the information. My second book, Freemasonry's Filthy Rituals, was supposed to have been released July 31st. That never happened, even though it went to the art department for the cover design, and I showed you that, and you wrote the foreword for it, Vinny, and it went to the typesetters, and it was just about to be run off when they pulled the plug on it and decided to promote whatever little agenda is going on out there in Hollywood. I guess, I don't want to speculate, but those are the facts, and it's very frustrating to be trying to get information out, and then, of course, the trolls try to say, oh, you're doing this for the money and the glamour. No, I haven't seen a dime yet, and like I said, I'm happy right now to dispense the ebook of my first book for free.
And they can just get that off the Facebook page, right?
Yeah, well, it doesn't let me upload it as a file there. But anybody that wants it, I mean, just contact me, message me and tell me so, and I'll be happy to email it to you or whatever.
I could upload it as a file to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com with the archives to this show if you want, so that everybody who goes to the archives can download it there. And then, of course, they can just copy the link of the file there and share that anywhere they want.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. And so if you just transfer me the file after the show, mate. We'll get that sorted out for you. Oh, there it is. Okay. So there we go. We'll sort that one out for you. Hey, it occurs to me, damn, I've helped you a lot, bro.
I know. I'm very grateful.
Yeah. Where's everybody else in this equation? I mean, well, wasn't there like some kind of radio station that you were doing in, was it Wisconsin or
Colorado.
Colorado, yeah.
Yeah, I did a month worth of shows there at KFKA 1310 AM, and it went really well. It was the Scooter McGee show, and I mean, I had a blast. So no complaints there. I know their ratings went way up over it, and I mean, honestly, it's to a point now where a lot of people are saying, you know, well, maybe you should just do your own show. And I mean, I'm open to doing that. Of course, I would need a really nice microphone, you know, because right now I'm having to contend with the built-in one on a MacBook, which is kind of crappy.
Well, you know, you start wherever you start, mate. That's, I started on doing a speakerphone off of my iMac. You know, and then one person sends you a USB headset, and then after that somebody sends you a microphone, and then after that a better microphone. You know, it works in stages. So the key to doing radio, both advice for you, James, and for anybody else, is just start. You don't need anything, okay? As long as you're able to record your voice with whatever device is available, and as long as people can actually tell that it's, you know, words and stuff, and doesn't just sound like some kind of a garbled, incredibly nasty sort of Cybertronian digital landscape of sound, magnanimous with the stars and so on and so forth, so you don't even know what the hell they're saying. As long as it's legible, then just fucking do it. You know, you've got nothing to lose. Absolutely nothing to lose. And at some point down the track, because you've got an audience, your audience might actually get sick of the fairly low quality that you've currently got. So buy your new microphone anyway. We'll be right back after the break.
The virus alert the masses. Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. Happy All Hallows Eve and soon to be Guy Fawkes Day. Remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder treason and plot. I know of no reason why the gunpowder treason should ever be forgot. Guy Fawkes was the last man to enter Parliament with honourable intentions. Because he's going to try and blow it up, yo. I'm just joking. Right. And also, here's another thing. Violent revolution. I really don't like the idea of it. I don't like the idea of war. I don't like the idea of mass executions or mass hangings or that kind of thing against the evil scumbaggery Illuminati and so on and so forth. It should be quiet. It should be downplayed, and everybody should just kind of get along with their life. But they'd suddenly realized after a while that, hold on a second, I'm not being pulled over for BS reasons. The police aren't acting like thugs anymore. The judges are actually not enforcing corrupt rules. Surveillance is now illegal on me, and all of these rights that I thought I once had have actually been restored to me. Wouldn't that be nice? Don't you think? Rather than seeing children blown apart in your frickin' street? Who the hell is stupid enough to want the horror and the danger and the destruction of war in your own neighborhood, your own neighbors, and you just watch them dead in the street?
You know, just really, really try and visualize that whenever you even think about taking up arms to defend liberty when peaceful alternatives are still currently available. Unless they're rolling through the street, freaking shooting everybody already, it's not a good idea to fight back in a physical, violent, revolutionary fashion. At least that's my kind of perspective coming from what I know about how war actually affects people and how bad an idea it is for people to have military uprisings and then impose new governments afterwards. They always wind up turning corrupt or even worse than the tyranny that they overthrew. It's not a good move. And there's a lot of people talking about this kind of thing, encouraging it even. And that's dangerous, man. Very, very dangerous. Because it tars all of us with the same brush, doesn't it? These people really got no responsibility for the words that come out of their mouth. They don't even care about the suffering that could possibly cause or inflict on their countrymen. You got to wonder, how far are you willing to go? How much are you willing to listen to somebody else's ideas before you start thinking for yourself and coming up with your own ideas of the world that you want to see and start making it happen? How long is it going to take? How many rabbit holes do you need to be led down? How many false directions? How many times do you have to be let down by people being dishonest before you stop lying to yourself? I just thought I'd add that little bit of thinking that I'd been having the last couple of days in there, James. I'm sorry, it's kind of a little off topic.
Well, not necessarily.
How so?
Well, I mean, everybody's worst nightmare is basically the truth pertaining to the Freemasons. I mean, they really, truly are the ones running everything, and they spend a great deal of time and money to put things out in the world to point their fingers at other groups, but see, it all goes back to them. After all, it is Freemasonry where any other occult order that is either adjacent or higher than basic Freemasonry does their recruiting. It's where the CIA, MI6, and all the other intelligence communities do their recruiting. The thinking being, oh, well, if these guys take 32 of these Masonic oaths, then, you know, hey, they must know a thing or two about keeping their mouth shut and keeping secrets and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it gets into that whole world. I mean, it's the gateway. It's a gateway drug.
So it's a recruitment arm?
Well, totally. I mean, especially where I came out of in Dallas. Yeah, it's a giant recruiting arm, yes. But you're never going to be in that position until you're at least a 32nd degree Mason, and then from there, still dedicated, still trying to seek out more appendant degrees and that sort of thing. That's when the eyes are going to finally go on you.
Is it like you fatten up a chicken or something, giving it growth hormones? By the time the final injection's put in there, they dip you in arsenic so that you retain more water and that you'll be nice, plump and fat and juicy when they slaughter you. Can we have an idea of how exactly this recruitment process goes on? Like, you've got certain degrees and what have you that they do. How exactly are they conditioning the recruits into malleable characters for, say, clandestine services, for instance?
Well, I mean, the conditioning process is those 32 degrees of Freemasonry. By the time you've taken all of those, you're such a cog in the wheel there that, I mean, the groundwork is already laid out and done. So at that point, it's really just a matter of, you know, observation and whatnot, and then they'll act on, you know, you'll be approached and say, oh, come, we want to give you this degree or that degree, or you'll be approached for job opportunities or, you know, whatever. And that's when you get into that world of, you know, the intelligence type stuff. I mean, like, for example, all this stuff right now going around about Edward Snowden, and I'm still not convinced that he's a real person, but let's go with the argument that he is a real person and not some actor or whatever. Because, I mean, you know, where is he? There's paparazzi crawling all over Moscow looking for him, and they never come up with a picture, yet we see pictures of, like, say, Julian Assange every day, right? So what people don't realize, though, is if it is true that he is a real person, okay, well, he didn't work for the CIA proper, because to have any kind of a job for the FBI or the CIA or whatever here in America, you have to at least have a 4-year college degree. And this Edward Snowden, by their own admittance, by what they say about him and admit about him, he was a high school dropout. But see, he was working for a subcontractor called Booz Allen Hamilton. So it would be kind of like, you know, Stratfor or one of those places, or Halliburton or what have you. And yeah, that recruiting does absolutely go on in the 32nd degree level of Freemasonry. Yes.
So that means that the 33rd degree of Freemasonry is the nexus point of the power structure of the SERF. They're the ones that have all the connections to the powerful roundtable groups, brainwashing schemes, so on and so forth. And as you were saying, when they're coming up through the 32 degrees and it's conditioning them, it occurs to me to be a form of brainwashing or mind control. So, in essence, Freemasonry itself, Scottish Rite anyway, is a conveyor belt by which a lot of people get diverted off the main conveyor belt that has that objective of brainwashing and mind controlling you all the way up to the point where you can be easily used for in perhaps clandestine operations or some other form of scumbaggery. They kind of weed out all the honesty, all the decency, that kind of thing. And if they don't weed it out, they certainly threaten that if you ever use it, you won't be using it for long.
Well, right, yes. And then not only that, but, I mean, again, by their own admittance, the Supreme Council themselves in the year 1985 admitted that they fully finance research at Stanford Research International in California for mind control and behavior manipulation from a distance. So, I mean, yeah, the structure of Freemasonry is a giant mind control mechanism. That's why they put you through the murderous oaths and whatnot, because if you can take all that in and not go crazy in the process, then you're exactly the kind of material they want. And this is exactly why the intelligence community is breathing down my neck and everything right now with their trolling and spying, and you never know where their a lens is going to be and that kind of thing, because they're upset simply because I'm inhibiting their environment that they recruit from. If Freemasonry takes a hit, that means there's less candidates for headhunting.
Well, in headhunting, that takes us on to superstition. Demon possession, specifically. And I recall one time you told me that if you're in the 33rd degree of Freemasonry, you are either prime and ready for or already have been a subject to demon possession of some kind.
Yes, because make no mistake, ritual is a very powerful thing. And when you're playing around with that stuff with the complete impunity that is the attitude there in those higher structures of Freemasonry, then yeah, I mean, you're opening yourself up to all sorts of things. I mean, the root of Masonic ritual is derived from ancient Egyptian Solomonic magic. So you get into this whole thing about the 72 demons of the Goetia, and evocations and invocations and all this sort of stuff. And like the Golden Dawn, for example, we've briefly touched on that before. The Golden Dawn is basically where all of the most devout, serious, seasoned Masonic occultic ritualists retire, for want of a better word. That's where they go to play after they've done a lifetime of this sort of thing. And I mean, it's not the only way that you can get in there, but it's the most common.
Mm. So if it's kind of based on ancient Egyptian sort of black magic, it's almost like there's, you said that there's bloodlines involved here, a lot of recruiting. You come from one of these Masonic bloodlines with the grandfather above in the Masonic library and so on. So you've got a whole bunch of people who conceivably for a very, very long time have got blood ties to this type of magic. And it's a recruiting session for them so that they can be conditioned by the Masons to open them up and to make them controllable so that they can be safe vessels for entities visiting here from another plane to cause destruction and chaos.
Yes, and that's exactly why you're most likely to see a future Mason in a young man who comes from a family with a history of it. It follows it. I mean, you almost can't explain how it is. It just is. No matter how you look at the statistics internally, it always comes back to that. It follows these families and these bloodlines and everything else. And people sometimes think of bloodlines and they think, oh, we're talking about a very, very small niche percentage of the human population. Well, no, actually, when you consider how humans have migrated and spread out over the world throughout our history of civilization, I mean, you're talking about a lot of people, actually.
You're talking about a massive pool, right? Kind of like it's like a bag of chips, spiritually speaking, isn't it? You know, you got one big bag, it's the whole of humanity, and a whole bunch of chips in there, and you could just eat them one at a time whenever you want. Finish the whole bag if you want.
Right, and if there's someone, like, I'm sure they look at me now as some sort of disappointment, or I wasn't willing to, you know, participate in all of the dark, sick, occulted things that they wanted me to or whatever. So that classifies me as a disappointment. So they're out looking for, you know, the next best thing, the next most devoted person that they can stick in a position like that on Supreme Council payroll. Yeah.
And this allegedly 33 published degrees, the top one being Auto Ab Kale with the double-headed eagle, which I've seen as a symbol in a number of films and video games and things of this nature, which I find very interesting. Order Out of Chaos, which is what David Icke called problem, reaction, solution. Are there any degrees higher above that that are unpublished?
Yeah, totally. I mean, when you count them all up, there's probably, like they say, there's about 360. And yeah, I mean, if you're talking about like the Rite of Memphis Mizraim, then that's, I think it's like 95 or 96 degrees. And, you know, York Rite has about 9. And then there's all these little appendant bodies. Like, it's basically like you learn a new handshake and you get a new dues card, you pay another $100 and kaboom, you're in this other order or whatever. I mean, and there's just a ton of them. There's so many. I mean, and then you can do that, and it gets really ridiculous. Like, they have one called the Super Excellent Master's Degree, and that's if you've done every degree there is, then there's that one. And even the 33rd is not the highest in that particular Scottish Rite structure, because above that you have what's called the Grand Cross of Honor. So it never ends, and that's indicative of how much of a pyramid scheme that the whole thing, the whole place is, which is what I wrote about in my first book.
Well, that leads me to suspect that there's kind of what the Gnostics call archons at the very top there on the influencing spectrum, because they're obsessed
absolutely obsessed with possessing human bodies in order to fulfill hierarchical structures. Really, really complex, endless, infinite hierarchical structures. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEselShow.com. James Wright is my guest.
Welcome back. Oh yeah, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. My very special guest is James Wright, Occupy Freemasonry on Facebook. If you just search Occupy Freemasonry on Facebook, you should be able to find it. We're going to give out a PDF of James's new book, With the Archives, on the VinnieEselShow.com. So I hope everybody will be more than happy to read that book and get it out to people, because what I've found, James, is that the corporate model's kind of not really working anymore for anybody. What I've found is a new industrial way of doing business these days is you give people something for free and then ask them whether or not they think it's worth paying for. You know, so if you download that PDF, ladies and gentlemen, and you think it's actually worth paying for, what would that book normally retail for, James?
Well, the retail price on it was $18.95, and then the Kindle was $5.
Yeah. So if you like it, just pay the Kindle version of it through to the PayPal at Occupy Freemasonry. There you go. And this way, you subvert the scumbaggery elements that are trying to prevent this book from getting out, and you get the book out, and you fund James so he can write another one. I think that's win-win-win. And even if you don't like the book, you don't have to pay for it.
Yeah, sounds good to me. I mean, yeah, no, if someone out there wants to be gracious enough to help me out, I mean, I could sure use it. This is, I had a very, very, very nice life before all this happened, and I basically sacrificed everything to do what I'm doing. So, again, this allegation that I'm doing it for some kind of money or glamour, I mean, it's just, it's laughable. This has completely ruined me, but, you know, I'm holding strong, and I haven't gone hungry yet. I had a lot of blessings that I can't really attribute to anything other than, like, God and miracles. So, you know, I just keep going, and I just moved to Phoenix. And so, if there's anybody in the Phoenix area that wants to organize an event or whatever, I'm game, and I'd like to help any way I can, even if it's just to contribute. So...
There's so much to be done. That's the other element that I'm not sure that people appreciate. I think Freemasonry is kind of isolated and it's only, you know, got its fingers in a few pies here or there. But nah, bro, it's freaking everywhere. Like, honestly, I cannot walk down the street without seeing Masonic symbols and stuff everywhere. I mean, really. You drive through New Zealand, bro. And I don't know, if you ever come to New Zealand, man, we'll go on a road trip, James. It'll be awesome. Because you go through every single town. And at the outskirts of the town, there's always a big, you know, sign with a whole bunch of symbols on it or whatever, you know. And there's always a Freemason symbol. Always. There's a lodge in every single town. And just think about how pervasive this is. There's also a spire in the middle of pretty much every town as well. Another Masonic symbol. I mean, it's saturating us. We live in a new age already. It's a Masonic age.
Yeah,
they've taken full control of our culture.
Yes, absolutely. And that's why they say that Queen Elizabeth is the largest landowner in the world. It's because she is the actual owner of United Grand Lodge of England, Freemasonry, the whole entire monster. And so when you consider that, like you're just saying, yeah, lodges are more prevalent than McDonald's or Starbucks, then yeah, she is the largest landowner. So I mean, this is how this goes. And as far as, you know, oh, it's not the Masons who are running everything, really, because like you were just saying, I also can't seem to notice the symbolism or whatever of any other group as prevalent. It is. It's everywhere. Like when they try to take down Masonica off YouTube, it goes down at 1333, I'm not kidding, views. And then, surprisingly, I wrote to YouTube and disputed it because they were claiming it was for copyright reasons. And I'm like, it's not monetized. I'm not seeking to make money off of it. It links to iTunes to purchase Erotica by Madonna. So what is the problem? And surprisingly, they put it back up. So,
well, that's convenient. It was really strange, these little coincidences. In fact, I remember we had a Skype conversation at one point, and the time that we started the call was like at ended the call was like 3 hours and 33 minutes or something ridiculous like that. It was just, and it's happened more than once. It's happened quite a number of different strange times. Oh, here we are. I've got the screenshots here in front of me. It's about to go 3:33 a.m. Yeah. That was quite funny, actually. That was a very late night conversation.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's people who would argue from an esoteric point that, oh, there's something to that, or it's meant to be, or whatever. I mean, I just really don't hold any opinion on it anymore, other than when you turn on the TV or you drive through a major thoroughfare and you see this stuff. That's on purpose. That's there to put it, you know, in everyone's minds. It's to popularize it and make it sexy and cool and everything else, because they have nothing else going for them.
Oh, but dig this, bro. You'll love this. We actually had two conversations within a 24-hour period. One of them on the, I think that's the 10th of July. What's the 7th month? I forget.
Yeah.
One of them we had on the 10th of July, and the call started at 3:33 p.m. And the other conversation that we had on the 11th of July ended at 3:33 a.m.
I smell a conspiracy.
Like, I'm not making it up, bro. We have the freaking screenshot. Oh my god. But it doesn't actually really mean anything. Okay, that's another thing. Just because you notice, or it just happens to be that way, doesn't mean that there's some kind of conspiracy involved there. It's just one of those very interesting little synchronicities. And I find those little synchronicities, there's usually a little bit of meaning or interpretation to them. It's sort of like you pass a road sign that you're not going to change your route on or whatever. You know, let's say you're heading to Auckland from Hamilton and you pass the roadside that says this way to Auckland and you're already going that way anyway. It doesn't make much of a difference. That's the kind of thing that I'm talking about here. We're talking about the 33rd degree Freemasons. We're talking about the scumbaggery. And then we have these little coincidences where the number 33 just keeps popping up all the time. It's in our minds. To a large degree, and I think it's just telling me, yeah, you're on the right track. Just keep going.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because when we had those conversations, it's not like we were really talking shop or anything like that. We were just kind of cutting up and having fun. So, yeah. It's, I mean, yeah, I see it all the time too around me, and it's, I don't know. I just kind of quit paying attention to it though. Otherwise, you know, I'd focus on that and.
I find it just really funny. You know, I'm going to be like, whenever you're watching TV, something like that, you'll be like, you point them out as they come out. Ah, Masonic Flop. Ah, All Seeing Eye Pyramid. Ah, this is the number 33. Ah, there's 666. And it's not like it's driving me nuts. It's actually just quite funny how obvious it all becomes when you start to see that every single television show and every single movie has some kind of Masonic symbolism in it. And really obviously, too, as in the camera angle wouldn't be pointed in that direction for any other reason You know, there's a whole art and a craft to filmmaking. Nothing is in the frame by accident, or very rarely. And the fact that I find it in virtually every film that I view is astounding to me.
Yeah, and I mean, like when you're dealing with Jay-Z or any of these other recording artists who, you know, try to promote this whole thing, you know, Illuminati or this, that, 33 or Aleister Crowley or, you know, whatever it is. I mean, it seemed my experience with that, especially having been around it in Hollywood, is, you know, they're just a hollow husk that's being made to do that by a higher power. And that higher power, again, I can't stress this enough, the Illuminati, as it were, is not, they don't call themselves that. It's the Order of the Silver Star, or when you see the initials AA. That ain't for Alcoholics Anonymous. It's for Argentum Astrum, which is Latin for Silver Star. So, yeah, they're controlling everything. All of Hollywood, all of entertainment, which entertainment is not just TV, music, and film. It's also sports. It's also literary, as I'm now experiencing. And, I mean, it's
children's books.
Yeah.
They got their fingers in all the pies. Not just many. It's extraordinary.
Yeah, well, it's taken them, I guess, a long time to get there, but they're there, and like everybody has the suspicion, that suspicion is accurate. I mean, what did we learn from the whole NSA whistleblowing? I mean, some people, I guess, had a revelation, but not people like us. We already knew that we were being spied on and that these internet companies are just rolling over and allowing this element to do that, and it's everywhere. I mean, it's probably in more places than we realize.
Because some people are still like, "What, the government spying on me for real?"
Yeah, for real.
Like, no, Shiite Muslim. I mean, come on. It amazes me just how naive we all are to a large degree on so many things. It's just crap. The way that we get raised, I'm just like, spend the bulk of your time when you're growing up plugged into some kind of mind-controlled device or distraction where you don't actually learn any new skills or acquire any useful knowledge. You're just wasting your frickin' time so that your parents don't have to deal with you by teaching you useful skills or useful knowledge. And that's the way the entire society has been brought up. You know, get to the age of 20, and you spend about maybe 20 minutes learning things that are actually useful. All the rest of it is just hogwash, BS. Never be of value to you in your entire life. Isn't that really sad? Imagine where humankind could be today if it wasn't being held back by ruthless criminals, sociopathic scumbaggery, filth mongers at the top. You know, the Order of the Silver Star?
Yeah.
The Order of the Silver Star. Nothing to do with getting the Silver Star when you get for bravery and commendations, I presume.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a movie out there that the entire experience I had in Los Angeles just reminds me so much of, and that's The Ninth Gate with Johnny Depp. And, you know, he's working for this guy who's the CEO of a publishing label, and him and all of his friends are just these devout Satanists, and, you know, they're all into the validity of whether a book was really written by the devil. And, I mean, those people exist. This is real stuff. And in that movie, interestingly enough, they allude to, like, the name of the Illuminati, but they call it, like, Order of the Silver Serpent or something like that. But no, it really is Silver Star. And, you know, all these so-called Illuminati whistleblowers and people, I get so frustrated with it because they claim that they're bringing new information out or they have some sort of inside track on things, and yet they can't even properly name the place. I don't get this. So either people are making things up, or they're purposely being disinformation agents. I don't know which.
Either that, or it's kind of like, You know, when you make a movie about somebody and it portrays them in a very bad light or something like that, you just don't use their real name because then they'll get really effed off with you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's... Yeah. So to reveal and to avoid any kind of lawsuits, like when I was talking earlier about, I believe I probably had a CIA handler. Yeah, that person is a very established, famous author, and I can't, I guess, say his name really, but I'll say something that sounds like it. We'll just call him Don Briquette.
Don Briquette. Okay. A little pseudonym.
Yes.
Is that his pen pal name, is it?
No, it's, I don't know. It just kind of, that's the only thing I can think of at the moment.
Hey, well, you know, you probably haven't gotten any sleep for the last couple of years because of Masonic freaking mind attacks from demon scum. So, you know, you'll be forgiven a few mental lapses here and there.
Yeah, well, but the good news is, though, I mean, it seems at right now at first glances, granted I've only been here for a week and a half, but it seems like there's not a lot of Freemasonry in the culture here in Arizona. I mean, it's obviously around, but you just don't see, like, Los Angeles, you drive down the street, oh, there's a lodge and there's a lodge and there's a lodge. You don't see that here, so that's the good news for me at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Right, we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after the break at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Bear in mind, this is a 100% listener-supported broadcast, so if you can please go, I need 500 people to donate a couple of bucks a month to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. 500 people, couple of bucks a month, that'll give me all the resources that I need in order to continue this show, pay rent, and start up Guerrilla Media House, actually. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the final segment right here on this All Hallows Eve. I hope everybody's dressing up in really scary costumes. You know what I'm talking about. White gloves, aprons, that sort of thing. Going around scaring small children with them.
Yeah.
That'd actually be quite hilarious. There's a whole bunch of Masons with their aprons on running after the children. little girls running away, pigtails flailing in the breeze, lunch pails opening, you know, packed lunches falling onto the ground and stuff like that. The Masons sniffing it, you know, for vital child pheromones and stuff. Ugh.
Yes, come to the Masons' Haunted House of Horrors for Halloween, yeah.
Yeah. Stand on the giant black and white Masonic tiled floor with a gargantuan upside down pentagram and the sacrificed child in effigy on it.
As we summon demons.
As we summon demons for your children. Come along to the Masonic House of Horror.
Oh, goodness gracious. It's funny because it's true.
Yeah. Sacrificing children to dark demons has always been a great pastime of some people, you know, just for a laugh.
Yeah, like Queen Elizabeth and the Rothschilds. Oh, yeah. Favorite pastime.
Yeah. You know, it occurs to me that we're living in kind of like almost like a pre-packaged, fabricated, it's like a moment in time. Thousands of years ago, when there was all this brutality, deception, slavery, dark occult practices, and things like that in ancient Egypt. It's like they froze that moment in time, and they kept it going up until now. And now we've just got a really high-tech version of it. Like an artist's impression of a building.
Yeah, it does seem like that. And certainly when you're dealing with these occult orders, I mean, yeah, time is is frozen. I mean, they've all had their scandals and things that have sort of torn them apart and reshaped them because they always come back for more. But, I mean, all in all, nothing's really changed, you know. And, I mean, I should note that when you're talking about any kind of cult or occult group or whatever you want to call it, every time you look at it, every single last time, you can put the names of all these places into a hat and draw one out. And I guarantee you that no matter what it is we're talking about, it was founded and begun by breakaway Freemasons who were looking to go establish and explore their own take on occult matters, like Aleister Crowley and the OTO as one example, like Jack Parsons and NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory as another example, like L. Ron Hubbard and the Church of Scientology as yet another example. It's all 33rd degree Freemasons.
Well, it wasn't Jehovah's Witnesses as well?
Yes, as was the Church of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, yes, all of them.
Okay, so they figured out a scheme. Here's another thing. Would they actually be 33rd degree Freemasons who are starting up a breakaway church because that particular 33rd degree Freemason had a different interpretation on Freemasonry and they wanted to explore it? Or are they merely an agent of the greater Order of the Silver Star, creating another way to divide people through false belief and occult practices, and then turning it into simply another recruiting arm?
Both. I mean, they take what they do seriously, so yeah, it means something to them. But yeah, absolutely, it always serves that purpose as well, yeah.
Do they know that it's serving this purpose? Are they aware of it, or are they kind of like dupes to a certain degree as well?
Well, I guess if you spend your life in it, you're a dupe any way you look at it. But the most cases, yeah, they know. I mean, like Aleister Crowley, he knew. He was a 33rd degree Mason before he was anything else. So he took the OTO, which was the remnants of the Bavarian Illuminati in Germany with a guy he knew named Theodor Reuss, renovated the order and came out with this whole Thelema and everything else that the OTO is. And so the Order of the Silver Star regards Crowley as one of their prophets of the past, like Christianity regards Jesus Christ as a prophet. So you're dealing with the same concepts and everything else. It's just that these are the type of people who do this sort of thing and don't really talk about it publicly. Yeah.
Like the cockroaches of society or the creepy crawlies.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, you can look at any religion, and of course it's going to have good things about it, but you know, it seems that from my vantage point, at least, these really aren't religions. They're just businesses that are all attached back to the larger octopus business, which is Freemasonry.
And they get like tithes or something? Well, people have to pay to do all these Masonic order degrees or whatever that don't actually cost any money for the Masonic Lodge to give to you?
Not really that way. It just has to do with stoking membership. You know, so if like the Golden Dawn were to suddenly come out and run around and try to do a bunch of recruiting, there would be a certain degree of that that would have Masonic prerequisites and that sort of thing. So, I mean, in any way you look at it, like the OTO, I mean, they'll claim as an order that, you know, oh, well, we're separate from Freemasonry, and they are, but I mean, their membership just feeds right into Masonic membership as well. So Freemasonry always is the benefactor of all these different types of programs and things. Yeah.
It's a very, very complex but overarching system. Mate. How on earth are we actually going to bring them down? Like, really? I mean, as you said earlier on the call there, about how What are you going to do? Redress your grievance by suing them when they are the lawyers, they are the judges? You know? What are you going to do? Start a war against them when they own all the armies? What are you going to do? Start an information campaign against them when they own all the information pushers? What are you going to do? Write a book about them when they own all the publishers? What are you going to do? Expose them when they own all the intelligence agencies? What are we going to do?
Yeah, that is the current predicament. But, I mean, really, all I can say to that is it's just going to take the power of the people and the true scandal of what the place is to hit in mass. I mean, they're trying every... I believe sincerely that everything I've been doing would probably have gone viral at this point. But because of the way they control things and the way, you know, I'll sit there and I'll tell new people in the media that I come into contact with, you know, the long story short of all this, and, oh, well, I don't think it's true, though, that the Masons are going around threatening people and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? KFKA 1310 in Colorado said the same thing. And then after I was on their show for one night, the very first night, the Masonic phone calls and emails and letters in the mail were relentless. How dare you put him on? Don't you put him on again. Scooter McGee needs to be put on administrative leave. Grumble, grumble, grumble. You know, and now there were no Masons working at KFKA, so they just took it as, oh, well, we must be getting good ratings, and they were, and so they went ahead and did it. But that's just one example of someone that did. There's been plenty, like panpipes on Hollywood Boulevard, that, you know, out of fear of these Masonic threats coming in, don't you dare, you know, that they just cave in to the pressure and, okay, we won't. That right there should have been the biggest scandal on KTLA News at 6 that day. I mean, but it's just never allowed to get to that. They sit on this. They keep their finger on it. They keep trying to push me down and keep me in the throes of destitution and threatening any kind of media personnel and all this kind of stuff. And, oh, no, that doesn't go on. Yes, it does. You have gone and shown the world that it does go on because you people are doing it.
It happens all the time, doesn't it? Throughout history, you get some group of scumbags that have got immense power and wealth and control and all the slaves and everything that they want. And then they come crashing down really nastily because people just get freaking fed up with it. Can't be bothered. You know, I can't be bothered putting up with this Masonic scumbaggery. You know, what about you, ladies and gentlemen? Do you feel like putting up with any further Masonic scumbaggery? Is it good for your health? Is it good for your children? I don't think so. And bear in mind, there is, and I really get tired of having to reiterate this point, there ain't nothing wrong with Freemasonry in general, right? We're talking about a very, very specific group of scumbags who have seized control of basically the planet at the Scottish Rite, the Supreme Council, the Order of the Silver Star, okay? That's what we're talking about. If you're some porch mason or whatever, mate, you don't have a freaking clue what the hell is going on. They don't tell you nothing. In those first 3 degrees of the Blue Lodge or York Rite or anything like that, they ain't telling you anything. They tell you that they are telling you something really important, but none of it is, okay? There's a hell of a lot more information available to you as a brother of the institution than they're letting on, okay? So don't be naive, don't be deceived. Do your own freaking research, mate. And that way, you've got the power of the knowledge yourself, and you don't need them anymore. You never did. James Wright, thank you very much for coming on the show with me today. And we'll see you again.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, indeed. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you don't die of fructose corn syrup poisoning. We'll be right back.